State looking for their first win ever against Boise State. One final shot. Fowler Nicolosi chucking it into the end zone. Everybody is there. Is it caught? Is it caught? Colorado State! Dallin Holker makes the catch! It's a miracle in Fort Collins!
How many times, Rams fans, have you watched that play over the course of the weekend? What a wild weekend. What a wild night it was for Colorado State. Who better to talk to us about that than head coach of the Rams, Coach Jay Norvell. Coach, congratulations. That was one of the best games maybe that I've ever, I don't know. I've seen some really fun games before, but that one's up there. That was one of the greatest games ever, Coach.
No, it was a really special game. And I tell you, we watched the tape yesterday, and really I was even more amazed and impressed after watching the tape. There's about two dozen plays that if we don't make those plays leading up to that last play, the last play never has a chance to happen. And so I thought it was a complete team victory and just a great example of faith and never quitting and never giving up and really belief. And belief is the hardest thing to build when you're building a program where guys just believe that they're going to win no matter what the circumstances are.
Isn't that crazy? It just amazes me about football, Coach, is what you just said. All these other things have to go perfectly. Like, they have to go right, because we saw how much time was left when that Hail Mary was tossed up into the air. It is amazing all the little things that turn into big things lead up to a big Hail Mary moment like that.
There's no doubt. And we just finished our team meeting up this morning, and I shared this with the kids because we're aware of it as a coaching staff. You know, the odds of hitting a Hail Mary is about 10%. And the odds of hitting an obvious onside kick is about 10%. And the odds of getting a Hail Mary and an onside kick are like 1 in 1,000. And so it's very unusual. And for our kids to just keep putting themselves in a position to have a chance and then executing that event was just really cool to see.
Well, Boise State gets their final touchdown of the game. GNT gets that touchdown, kind of waves to the crowd like it's over. And then the magic starts happening. You guys get the ball, and you go, all right, we got to go score here to even make this thing, you know, respectable, whatever. You go score relatively quickly. Then you get that onside kick. Beauty of an onside kick, too. Score. Talk to us, Coach, about that onside kick going into that play and then after the play.
Well, we kind of look at that and see how they're lined up. And then we try to pick a hole in the defense. And, you know, sometimes they overload it, sometimes they don't. And, you know, Boise didn't adjust. You know, and I have to say this. I mean, you can't win a game like that without getting a little help either. I mean, they did some things that helped us down the stretch. But just an amazing kick. Our guys, we had a couple guys out there that hadn't even done it in practice because of injury. We had to replace them. And then Vince Brown went down and covered it. And, boy, I sure thought we had the second one, too. I didn't really agree with the call that was on the field. But I thought we did a great job executing the second one. And I couldn't even tell you what the odds of getting two onside kicks are. I know it's probably more than 1 in 1,000, but it just doesn't happen very often.
No, and when that did happen too, when you get the second onside kick, and then I know the penalty happened afterward, but I just there was a part of me right then, Coach. I'm like, something crazy is about to happen with this team. There's just something nuts happening here. You get the stop with, I don't know, Coach. You tell me, what was there, like 38 seconds, 40 seconds when you get the football for that final drive?
Yeah, I think we were on our 12 yard line, so we had to go 80. 88 yards, and you know, we didn't have any timeouts either. We had to use them to get the ball back, and, you know, we were just, you know, we're a passing team, so we feel comfortable in those end-of-the-game situations where we have to throw 2 minute And we got it in empty and ran a double shake and put Torrey in the middle and just, you know, he just outran their nickel and kind of wrapped in front of their deep safety. And Braden stepped up and made an incredible throw. That was probably as impressive a play that happened all day. And if we don't make that play, we don't have a chance for the Hail Mary. And so, you know, and then the kids just executed the Hail Mary the way they're supposed to. You know, we had Lewis at the point. Torrey was the deep guy. And then Dallin has got to be ready for any kind of tip. And the last thing Torrey told him when we went on the field is be ready for that tip. Because, you know, he kind of saw it happen before it happened.
You'd be like a volleyball player after that game, too, Coach. I mean, that was perfect. So I have so many questions about the Hail Mary. My first one with Dallin, in that play, Coach, because I know you guys practiced that, is this something where you're telling Dallin Holker, like you're telling Torrey to sprint and get to the back of the end zone, right? What is are you telling Holker to not go in full sprint? You kind of got to pick your spot and ease your way into the end zone there. Talk to us about that process.
So, you know, it's a three-man bunch, and actually Lewis Brown's the point man. So he runs down and jumps up, and we try to throw the ball into the end zone. He tries to catch it if he can go over everybody. And that's happened before. I don't know. I'm a little older than you are, but you know, the famous one is the Doug Flutie play at Boston College where he scrambles around and throws it in, and you know, the DBs just misjudge it, and the receiver goes up and catches it. And it happens that way sometimes. But most of the time, you'll have a point guy that goes up to try to catch it, and the defense will try to break it up or tip it, and that's what happened. And so Torrey's the fastest guy, so he runs behind everybody, gets at the back of the end zone. Lewis goes to the middle and jumps and tries to catch it. And then Dallin kind of slows down, and he's right at the front goal line. And so we got the back of the end zone covered. We got the front of the end zone covered. And if the ball's tipped long, Torrey gets it. If the ball's tipped short, Dallin should have a chance to get it. And thankfully, that's what happened.
CSU head coach Jay Norvell joining us. I saw Dallin kind of slide into that, almost one-armed it there. Let me ask you this, Coach, serious question. Has he let go of that football yet? Is it still in his hands today?
I don't think so. You know, and he's an incredibly crafty player and just a gamer. And Torrey and him together have been really fun to coach. But, you know, I just got to say this, you know, our kids had incredible confidence that they were going to find a way to win. And that was awesome. You know, most of the time as a head coach, you're the one always trying to convince your kids. And, you know, there were many times in that game where they were convincing me. And I was so proud to see that. And there was a lot of belief on that last play that we were going to find a way to score.
Well, and you saying that Torrey's, you know, hey, I'm going to tip it to you. Like, these are guys not just going through the motions of a Hail Mary. These are guys that are in their brain figuring out, hey, we're going to go beat Boise State for the first time ever. Here's how we're going to do it. And I just absolutely love that because you have, and you could see it at the end of that play, too, when Torrey and Dallin Holker, I mean, they had the bro hug going. And if I were one of those guys, I wouldn't let go either, Coach. They were, like, right there.
Well, you know, we've had some disappointing moments, but I tell you what, we have a lot of love in that locker room, coaches and players, and I think anybody watching that game could see it in those last four minutes. You know, we just played hard for each other, and we believed in each other, and we fought for each other, and you know, and when Kennedy went down, it really galvanized us. You know, Jack Howell had some pretty serious words for the team, and you know, we just kind of all rallied, and you know, for our brothers, and I'm just so proud of this football team, how they rallied and how they believed.
You talked about this, Coach, I think in your post game, about how this was that breakthrough win that you guys have been needing. I mean, I can't count many more special victories than that one that we witnessed on Saturday night, I guess going into Sunday morning a little bit. talk to us about that thought process, Coach, of how this one really seems like you use the word galvanized as well. Like all these things really bubbled up in order for Colorado State to get the dub. How do you use this one going forward?
Well, I mean, we preach about a lot of things, preparation and playing hard for one another, playing through injury. But, you know, you have to put in the hard work, and sometimes you have to have disappointing losses to push you to a point where you get to the other side. And, you know, last week when we were in Logan, Utah, I told our team, you know, we look like a bunch of club fighters, and that wasn't a compliment. A club fighter is a guy that fights every week and doesn't really aspire to be a champion. And there's certain things you have to do to be a champion. You have to win games like that. You have to find a way to win. And, you know, we tell our kids all the time, no matter what the circumstances, there's always something we can do to help win the game. And we certainly demonstrated that Saturday.
Coach, finally, you know, just thinking about Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, I mean, this guy, I tell you, good, bad, ugly, it doesn't matter. He is entertaining as hell to watch, but his persistence in that second half to keep going, to keep firing, he looked banged up, too. He was getting hit like crazy.
Yeah.
But for him to follow it up, ultimately getting three touchdowns and then the storied Hail Mary touchdown, I mean, what can you say about this guy?
He's just a really competitive kid, and he loves being in those situations. And he's still young, you know. It's a real learning experience with him every week. And I just love his competitiveness and his aggressiveness. And he knows his job is to give his guys opportunities to make plays. And he's done a really good job. I was proud of how he protected the ball. You know, we had the one pick in the second half. But on the most part, he protected the ball and he threw it a bunch and made plays and gave his team a chance to win. You know, that's the most important quality of a quarterback, is you have to lead your team to victory, and he did that Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a heck of a win, a historic win, of course. Coach, final question for you. Hey, where'd you learn the dance moves? I mean, those were sharp. You were looking good in that locker room, Coach.
I'm a horrible dancer, and there's only two things that can get me to dance is my wife and a victory like that on Saturday night.
Well, great for you guys, too, to invite everybody into that world for a moment. I felt like all of us fans, all these fans out there, were living in that moment with you guys. So, Coach, thank you for that. That was amazing. And we just wish you the best of luck coming up this weekend against UNLV.
Thank you so much, Brady. Appreciate it.
All right, there's CSU head coach Jay Norvell. Man, I mean, having him kind of take us through that. So I thought Torrey was the point man on that, but he's saying Lewis Brown, right? So he was the point man, and then he's going to try to go up and catch that. He's going to be the first point of contact there. But you can see these Hail Marys, it's no longer, and maybe it always has been, I don't know. There's a design to it. There's a practice to it. And this Rams team, they were doing that. They've practiced that style. And seeing Dallin Hulker kind of swoop in there and get that reception, I think just had this area, the state, national media, I think that was just one of those wins. We'll see what they do with it. You know, because the Rams have had opportunities this year to put their name on the map, so to speak. You know, how large is that map? I don't know. But you had the opportunity against the Buffs in the Rocky Mountain Showdown when 11 million at one point were watching your game, and you took a Buffs team that was favored to just destroy you. You took them to double overtime. And then you went out and you won two games, beat Middle Tennessee on the road, which was a hard game. And you're starting to get some positive. You're starting to get some attention. And then the Utah State thing happened. You're up 17-0. You ultimately lose that. So maybe a lot of that momentum that you gained in the Rocky Mountain Showdown felt like it was going away. And then you're down 30-10 with 6 minutes to go in a game. And I think you had a Rams fan base that was really frustrated, really stressed out. But this Rams team wasn't. They kept going. They just kept fighting. That was one of the most impressive things I've seen in a long time. I've seen comeback wins. I've seen. I remember Peyton Manning and the Broncos coming back and beating the Chargers in their first run when his first year with the Broncos, and that was amazing because you wondered, are the Broncos going to drop below 500 at this game? Is this going to, oh boy, is this Manning thing not going to work out? And they were down big, and they come all the way back and win. I've seen Peyton Manning do that against Tampa Bay before on a Monday Night Football game. I've seen comebacks like you wouldn't believe. I saw one on Friday night between CU and Stanford. But to do it in 6 minutes against a team that you've never beat before, there's something special about that. There is something, I think, as Coach said, that galvanizes you, that changes the culture of what you're doing. And I tweeted this out way too late after the game. And I said, this is the night that ignited a football program. It is. And they got to carry that now to UNLV. Got to find a way. UNLV's a good team suddenly. They're a good team. But that was something else, man. That was so again, I thanked Coach for that. I thank all these players that just kept fighting. We're going to have Jack Howell on for the Jack Howell Show, and I'm so curious to hear what his speech was, what he said to this team when they had one of their brothers go down, and you're worried, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no clue, and you got to play a football game with him going to the hospital. And so this team found a way to overcome all of that with Kenny McDowell going to the hospital, one of your guys that you see every single day. But you found a way. You found a way to bust through. Texter here. Oh, you're going buffs here. East side, Chris Brady, I feel Coach Sanders has built up, primed his boys that they are awesome and Heisman material. Perhaps tone down the accolades. Yeah, but that's, again, you're asking him to quit doing what's bringing all these guys here. If primetime is not primetime, Travis Hunter is not a Colorado Buffalo. Shador is because he's his son, but if primetime is not primetime, you're not bringing in Louis. You're not bringing in. They do have some of that. Some people want to argue, oh, Louis. Well, you guys are all unrealistic, and I'm just going to say that. I know a lot of people are all over the Buffs today in a negative way, and rightfully so. That was a debacle. It was an embarrassing way to lose. But you're still forgetting that even though primetime utilized the transfer portal, one does not build a football program overnight, and they have four wins. So I'm going to do this. The people that were freaking out thinking the Buffs were going to go undefeated and never lose again, I told you to calm down. Those of you that are all over the Buffs saying, oh, this is terrible, it's a debacle, and he's, you know, primetime doesn't get it, blah, 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 calm down there too. Because they, last I checked, and I could be wrong, maybe check this, the score, the win-loss column, they have four wins to their name. This is not going to be a playoff team overnight. Real people, like me, if you listen to my show, said probably six wins. Might be the ceiling. That might be the best, six or seven. And that's still right there for the Colorado Buffaloes. That's what I'm saying. You got to listen to the whole show. If you don't listen live, listen to the podcast. If you don't listen to the podcast, listen to the replay coming up at 3 o'clock today. We got you covered, folks. All right, we'll take a quick break here, 24 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.